produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Hello, I am Pastor George Emeka of South Africa, and the first assistant to our CEO and founder, Caleb Padgett. And you are listening to Victorious in Christ radio program with Dr. Ronald E. Rolfe Ministries.
Romans chapter 14 and verses 17 and 18. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that is in these things serveth Christ, is acceptable to God, and approved of men. I want to read verse 17 again before I give you the thought I want to share from the Word of God. Again, verse 17 reads, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Almighty God. And I want to share from these verses of scripture from the thought, Lord, let my joy be in the Holy Ghost. Lord, let my joy be in the Holy Ghost. I believe by now you'd know that within a few weeks we'll be celebrating what is known as Pentecost Sunday. Been teaching and preaching about it for quite some time these last few weeks, these last few days, but I just want to remind you about Pentecost Sunday because Pentecost Sunday is coming. It will be the first Sunday in the month of June this year, June the 5th. We celebrate Pentecost Sunday after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and we celebrate it based upon what is taught in the Old Testament that occurred in the New Testament. I often tell you what is concealed in the old is revealed in the new. What was concealed in the old is that God established Pentecost. God told the people of God to number seven Sabbaths, and the morrow after that Sabbath should be known as a new meat offering for you. Then he tells the prophet Joel, then in the last days I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. All this became manifested in the New Testament church. It became manifested when Jesus Christ told the disciples that he had need to go away, that the Holy Ghost may come. The Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of truth, the Paraclete, he will come and he will abide with you and he will be in you and he will teach you and he will guide you. It was necessary for Jesus Christ to go away because he said, I will pray the Father and he will send you another comforter and he will be with you. But Jesus tells them, he said, I need you to go to Jerusalem and to wait there and tarry there until you receive this power, this gift of the Holy Ghost. The Bible tells us that Jesus reminds them as he prepares to ascend on high. The Bible says that he showed himself openly among them with many infallible proofs, which means they could not deny the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But while Jesus Christ now is preparing to ascend back to the Father and take his rightful place on the right hand of the Father, while Jesus is talking to them, he begins to ascend on high. And there appeared unto the disciples two men in white apparel, saying, "You men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing into the heavens? But go and do as Jesus said, but be mindful that he's going to return unto you again." The Bible says, now these disciples, they go to Jerusalem. They go into an upper room, and there they're in this upper room. They're not just there waiting, but they had a mission and a purpose. The Bible says that they were all on one accord, but they were there because they were waiting on the promise from the Father. What is a promise? A promise is something that's guaranteed that's going to happen. It is something that God is saying that will be manifested in your life. I don't know about you, but I thank God for the promises of God. The Bible says, for in him, all the promises of God are yea, and in him, amen. In other words, whatever God promises you, God will fulfill that promise in your life. It doesn't matter how long it's been. It doesn't matter how long you've been waiting. God is God enough to fulfill that promise in your life. Even Abram would tell you that. Abram would tell you that God made a covenant. God made a promise with him. God promised him that he would be the father of many nations. Understand now that when God made this promise to Abram, he was 75 years old. He had not had any children. He was married to Sarah. They had not had any children. She was 65 years old. But yet God made a promise. I don't know about you, but I'm so glad that the promises of God are not confined by time. Whatever God is going to do in your life, whatever God said he's going to bring forth in your life, it is not confined by time. Sure enough, through the process of time, God fulfills that promise. Yes, they had a son before Isaac because they became impatient with God. But when they realized that God was yet in control, and then God gave them Isaac, and now Isaac becomes the promise. God would give you your promise where everybody around you would have to understand that it was nobody but God that did it. Whether you're waiting on a breakthrough, whether you're waiting on a healing, whatever it is, God will bring it to pass. Now God, through Jesus, tells them, I need you to wait on the promise. This promise is the gift and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's something about when God makes a promise. Oh, I've had people to make promises to me. I've had people to even break promises. I've had people that I'm waiting on them to fulfill their word, and it never happens. But I understand and I realize that God would never break this promise to me. God would never forsake me. God would never leave me. And because of that, I can stand on the assurance that whatever God says, God will bring it to pass. God, through Jesus, tells them, I need you now to wait on this promise, to wait on this gift and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. When we understand about the gift and the baptism of the Holy Ghost, what is this about the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit being a gift? We know about Jesus Christ being a gift because the Bible tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave. Gave means it is a gift. No one asked God to send his son, Jesus, to save us. But the Bible says, but God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So we understand the gift of God through Jesus Christ. We understand God giving us his son, Jesus Christ. Then we even understand about Jesus giving us his life, sacrificing his life so that we would be saved. The Bible says that without the shedding of blood, there would be no remission of sin. So we understand that when Jesus died, he was giving his life freely. Even in Sunday school, it talks about the resurrection of life. How Jesus said that no man taketh my life, but I lay it down freely that I may take it up again. Jesus Christ was the only man that was murdered and did not die. Why? Because who can kill God? who can destroy God. Nobody is able to do that. So God, through Jesus, gave his life that we might be saved. And now we understand Jesus coming. We understand the gift of Jesus. We understand the death of Jesus. We understand the resurrection of Jesus. But what is it about this gift and baptism of the Holy Ghost? Jesus, why are you putting so much emphasis on believers being filled with the gift and the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Well, what is it about a gift? A gift means nothing if you don't readily receive the gift. I've known people to have gifts and never unwrap them because they didn't appreciate the giver or the gift. But it's something about a gift from God. It's something about a promise from God. You have to anticipate and be excited about what God is doing. The Bible says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we may ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. It's something about this gift of the Holy Ghost. So it means that God is willing to give us a part of himself. You have to understand it in our own finite, in our own little unreasoning. We have to try to understand, how can an almighty God give us a part of himself? We understand how Jesus was made in the flesh. We can understand that. But you're trying to tell me that Elohim, that El Shaddai, wants to give me a part of him to be in me. Little old me, little old me. A little old me that's not able to do everything in life, but yet God wants to dwell in us and dwell in you and dwell in me. And that's what he means by the gift of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to give you a gift because the world cannot receive him, because he is the Spirit of truth. And being the Spirit of truth, he's going to help you even in your worship, because they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. He is the Spirit of truth. He is the Spirit of Christ. So when I have the gift of the Holy Ghost, I have Jesus dwelling down on the inside. It has the Word of God dwelling down in my life and in my being. That's what the Bible means when it says, greater is he that is in you than he that is within the world. So now you have the gift of the Holy Ghost. But he says, not only did I want to give you the gift, but the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Well, now you're getting a little deep on me, Jesus. I understand now how I can receive heaven's precious gift. But now you want to baptize me in this gift. How do we become baptized in the Spirit of God? Well, when you got saved, it means that now you're no longer part of the world, because the Bible says, therefore, if any man or woman be in Christ, they are a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And Jesus said, I won't put new wine into old skins, because if I put new wine into old skins, the old skins cannot contain the wine. You got to understand the mind of God and the mind of Jesus when he says that I can't put the new wine into old skins. When you look at how wine is made and how it goes through a process of fermentation, what means is, when you put the wine into a container, it goes through a process and it gives off gas and it begins to expand within the container. It's known as fermentation. And if the container cannot hold the wine, it'll burst open and spill out, and it would be of no good. So God is saying that I gotta make a new creature out of you, because the old man cannot handle what I wanna do in you. The old man has a carnal mind. The old man has a mind of sin. The old mind has a rebellious mind. The old mind has a contrary mind. He says, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, and let the mind that be in Christ Jesus be also in you. That's why I'm saying, Lord, touch my mind. Touch my mind, Lord, so I can have joy down in the Holy Ghost. So now the carnal mind, he cannot accept the gift and baptism of the Holy Ghost. So what God does through Jesus Christ, he prepares this temple, because the Bible says, know ye not that your body is a temple for the Holy Spirit? Well, how does this body become a temple for the Holy Spirit? Well, how do you become a vessel of Christ? Because the Bible says there are many vessels. There are vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. So when I become a vessel of honor, I'm ready now to receive the gift and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So now, what is the baptism? The baptism is when the Holy Ghost takes me and removes me from the world and places me over into the body of Christ. But then he goes a little bit further. Not only am I placed over into the body of Christ, but now he comes down and dwells within me, because he said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water, and with joy shall you draw from the wells of salvation. Because the joy of the Lord, it is your strength. So now when God wants to dwell in you and God wants to be down in you, it is for every believer to be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. And if you're not filled with the gift, you're living beneath your privilege. What do you mean I'm living beneath my privilege? I understand you love God. I understand you're a child of God. But don't stop right there. It goes further than that. It goes further into having an intimate relationship with the Lord our God. And how you have an intimate relationship, you have to get to know him. You have to understand what he wants to do in your life. You have to understand what he's trying to do in your life. Because when you go into the word of God and you look at what the preacher said in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12 and verse 13, it says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. In other words, God wants to come no more in your life, and God wants to dwell in you, and God wants to be in you. Because if you're not careful, the devil will come and steal your joy. He'll come and steal what God is trying to do. And it's something about the devil. He's not trying to steal it so he can have it. He's trying to steal it so you won't have it. It's nothing the devil can do with your joy. It's nothing the devil can do with your health. So he steals it so you won't have it. But the devil is a liar. I know he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I'm so glad that Jesus said that I am come that I might have life, and that more abundantly. And I don't know about you, but I want everything that God has for me. I want all the blessings of God. I want all the miracles of God. I want all the power of God, because he said, I'm going to give you power. power. Power to tread upon serpents and upon scorpions. I'm going to give you power to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I'm going to give you power to speak those things that be not as though they were. I'm going to give you power so that no weapon that's formed against you, it shall prosper. I'm going to give you power to cast the devil out. Cast him out of the mind and out of the will and out of the way. I remember hearing the old saints would say, Satan, the Lord rebuke you. Get behind me, Satan. I cast you out of the mind. I cast you out of the will. I cast you out of the way. Well, how were they able to say that? They were able to say it because of the power of the Holy Ghost. And I'm saying, Lord, let my joy be in the Holy Ghost. I want the joy down in the Holy Ghost. I remember when the Lord saved me. I wasn't but 18 years old. It was June 24th, 1975, on the street of Mississippi Avenue Boulevard at 547 Mississippi Boulevard. I gave my life to Jesus. It was on a Tuesday night. And the first thing I said, if I'd known it was this good, I would have got saved long ago. But I began to notice how the seasoned saints, how they were on fire for God, how they wanted more of the Holy Ghost. And I became godly envious. I wanted the Holy Ghost like they had the Holy Ghost. I wanted the anointing like they had the anointing. I didn't want to just be like anybody, but I wanted to stay saved. I had been lost long enough in my sins, on my way to a devil's hell. But because of the Holy Ghost, I'm saying, Lord, just like you feel them, I'm saying, Lord, just like you touch them, I'm saying, Lord, fill me with the Holy Ghost. I became addicted to the saints. I wanted to be prayed for. I wanted to be prayed over. I got busy in the church. I said, Lord, I will not let you go until you fill me with the Holy Ghost. I went to a revival one night by E.E. Cleveland out of Los Angeles, California. It was on a Wednesday night. It was July 23rd, 1975. Not even a month after I'd been saved. He said, everybody that wants the Holy Ghost and you know you're saved, he said, get up and come down to this altar. I got up and ran down to the altar. I'm saying, Lord, I'm holding on and I will not let you go until you fill me with the Holy Ghost. I forgot about everybody around me. I forgot about the preacher. It was between me and God. And I'm saying, Lord, come no more in my life. I'm saying, Lord, come no more over me. Not my will, but thy will be done. Less of me and more of you. What more can I do? What should I do? I surrender all. I surrender my mind. I surrender my will. I surrender my life. Just have your way. Be pleased with my life. Be glorified in my life. And I begin to feel something moving down in me. I begin to feel the power of the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost heard me magnifying Jesus. And Jesus said, when he comes, he will not testify of himself, but he'll speak what he hear. And when you said, thank you, Jesus, the Holy Ghost says, thank you, Jesus. When you say hallelujah, that's why you gotta open up your mouth and let your mouth be full of praise, because the Bible says, let everything that hath breath breath. Praise the Lord. The devil will have you thinking you don't have to do all of that. But I want you to know it takes all of that and some more and some more, because there's one baptism, but there are many fillings. He'll baptize you. He'll take you and place you in the body of Christ. And then he'll take his Holy Spirit and put him down in you. So now you know that you have the Holy Ghost. And God filled me on that night with the Holy Ghost. And ever since that day, I'm saying thank you, Lord, because if it had not been for your son Jesus, if it had not been for the power of prayer, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, I never would experience being filled with the Holy Ghost. And if you hadn't been filled, I'm saying, Lord, fill your child. If you have been filled, I'm saying, Lord, do it again and again and again, because you need that power. You need the Holy Ghost. It's something about the Holy Ghost. You can be all by yourself and have church by yourself. What do I mean by that? I've learned to have church before I get to church. I've learned to praise him before the praise team. I've learned how to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and to his courts with praise before I get to the parking lot, because it was early on this morning. I got up with the Lord on my mind. I got up and began to praise him and said, Lord, I give you praise, and Lord, I give you glory, and Lord, I want you to be pleased. I want you to be glorified. I want you to be magnified. So that means when I come around the saints, I don't sit there all stoic. I don't sit there all melancholy. I don't sit there all nonchalant. I don't mind giving him praise. I don't mind telling him thank you. I don't mind raising my hands. I don't mind waving my hands. I don't mind opening my mouth, because you don't know like I know how good the Lord has been to me. If it had not been for the Lord on my side, the devil would have destroyed me. He would have killed me. But God, if it had not been for my Lord, if it had not been for the Holy Ghost, I don't know where I would be. But ever since he filled me, well, how do you know you've been filled with the Holy Ghost? He'll give you a sign. Yes, he will. And the Bible says, let me get back to my text. The Bible says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. What do you mean by that? The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It doesn't matter about the things you have in life. It doesn't matter how well you dress. It doesn't matter what you drive. It doesn't matter where you live. It doesn't matter about your education. It doesn't matter about where you work. It doesn't matter about the money you have, because the Bible says, what should it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? In other words, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. No, but righteousness. What is righteousness? It is the will of God. It is the mind of God. Because our righteousness, it is not good enough. Well, what do you mean, brother preacher, that our righteousness, it is not good enough? Well, let me tell you what the word of God says. Paul says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them a record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, righteousness and have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. In other words, all of my righteousness, it is as filthy rags. I can't live good enough. I cannot appease him. I cannot satisfy him without Jesus being in my life. And he says, and peace. If you want peace in your life, you need the Holy Ghost. He's Jehovah Shalom. He's a God of peace. You want peace in your life, he says, and joy in the Holy Ghost. You want some joy. You sick and tired of being sick and tired. You're tired of going through. You're tired of holding on. Let me help you. You need a little more joy. Joy, joy, joy. This joy I have, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. This joy I have, I heard a songwriter said, joy bells keep ringing in my soul. Joy bells keep ringing in my soul. It's something about joy when I'm going through. I can give him praise. It's something about joy when I don't feel well in my body. I can give him joy. It's something about joy when people lie on me and talk about me. It's something about this joy. I'm saying, don't worry, it's gonna be all right. My joy tells me, just keep on praising him, just keep on thanking him, because God is on your side, because God is bringing you through, because God is helping you, because God is delivering you. And those of you that are listening to me, and those of you that are watching me, your joy should be in the Holy Ghost, and you shouldn't mind showing some sign that I got joy, joy like a river. I've got joy in my soul. Now, if you got joy, open up your mouth and say, Lord, let my joy be in the Holy Ghost. Come on, say, Lord, let my joy be in the Holy Ghost. Now give God some praise in this house. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And verse 18 says, for he that is in these things, what are the things that he was talking about? He that is in righteousness, he that is in peace, he that is in joy. For he that is in these things serveth Christ, is acceptable. So when you have joy in the Holy Ghost, you're serving Christ, and it becomes acceptable to God. You should never be the most disappointed and the most despondent person when you have the Holy Ghost. It's something about how we, the saints of God, are the most depressed. We, the saints of God, are the hardest people to encourage. People can give you the word and you won't respond. But you say you know him. You say you're saved. You say you're filled. What has happened to you, child of God? Take a retrospect over your life. Examine yourself. The Bible tells us that. Examine yourself to see whether you build the faith. Examine yourself. You're the first one to know when you're not where you should be in Christ. It first happens on the inside, and then is exemplified on the outside. Because you can just see it. People can see when you have the joy of the Lord in you. I was at a place of business on yesterday, and I'm going to say this and finish. I was at a place of business on yesterday, getting an order of food to go. And elderly gentleman walked in. and said, "How you doing, preacher?" Man didn't know me from Adam. I wasn't wearing a sign saying sanctified Holy Ghost Pentecostal preacher. I'm just sitting there trying to get my food and get out of there like anybody else. As a matter of fact, I even had a mask on. Man didn't know me. And I said, "Is it that obvious?" He said, "Yes, it is." He said, "Is that obvious?" And it dawned on me, Lord, thank you that even strangers see your glory in my life. Even when those I serve don't see it. Thank you, Lord. I remember my pastor, the late Bishop Patterson, preached a message, "The Faith of Strangers." Sometimes strangers will see it before others. And I began to have a conversation with this man. He told me his age. He said, "Young man, I'm 75 years old." And we just began to sit there and talk. And I never asked him his name. But when they called my name to get my order, I said, "Excuse me, sir." When he got my food and went back over, I said, "I really appreciate you. And thank you for sharing your time with me." And he called me by my name because he heard the server call my name to come get my food. And I'm saying all that to say this to you, that when you have the joy of the Holy Ghost in your life, God will use that to be a witness for him. You can be a witness for the Lord without even opening your mouth and saying a word. Just by the way you walk and the way you talk, the way you carry yourself. No, it's not being arrogant. It's not being bold in a way of sense that it becomes obnoxious. It's just carrying a sense of humility and standing out in a room of all that people in the room. He walked over to me and said, "How you doing, preacher?" He could have easily spoken to anyone. He could have said, "How you doing, brother?" And when God singles you out, well, others would know you. I said I wasn't going to say anything else, but I got to tell you this. Because I remember after the Lord saved me. And you got to be very careful how the devil would try to steal your joy. And how the devil would try to talk to you. And the devil would have you trying to make sense out of what he's telling you. Yes, he will. That's how he robs you of your joy. You begin to entertain what he's telling you. That's what he did to Eve. Surely the Lord didn't say that. The devil knew what the Lord had said. He knows the word of God. But he will pervert the word of God and have you questioning what God said. And the devil would do you like that. I just recently gotten saved. And I was in undergrad. I was only 18 years old. In undergrad, in college. And before I got saved, and I don't mind telling you this, everybody has a before Christ experience. Before I got saved, I used to love the dance. Oh, man. You mentioned a dance, I'm coming. I used to love the dance. I still dance. I just changed partners. So my college used to have a dance every weekend. And I would go before I got saved. But after I got saved, here comes the devil. You still can go to the dance, but just don't dance. Made sense to me. It really did. And that's how the devil gets into your mind. When you start trying to rationalize what he's telling you, and it begins to make sense. When God has already said, "Come out from among them." But I'm sitting there rationalizing with the devil. Yeah, that does make sense. I just go and I won't dance. So I get to the dance, and I pay to get in. Isn't that something? How the devil will have you paying your own way to hell. So I go into the dance, and the room is pitch black. It's dark. You know, the world lacks darkness. That's why I can't get with some churches have these dark services. Look like a club. You know, lights flashing and spinning around. You know, I mean, that's what they want to do, fine. I'm not knocking that. That's not what I'm talking about. But I walk into this room, and it was at the student center. And it's dark, And I didn't dance. I'm standing against the wall. And a young lady comes over to me. And I couldn't see her first face. All I knew, it could have been an angel of the Lord. Young lady walks over to me. And she says, I don't know who you are, but you don't belong here. And a cold chill went over me. And I immediately left that room and never went back. I knew that was the Lord speaking to me. She just said, I don't know who you are, but you don't belong here. There are things that you can be doing that you know you shouldn't do that will rob you of your joy. And I'm telling you, you don't belong there. Lord, let my joy be in the Holy Ghost. Not let it be in other things. And God wants you to enjoy life. I hope I don't live a boring life. I enjoy life. I enjoy doing things. I enjoy doing things with other individuals. But I don't compromise who I am in God. Even to the point when people around me, they realize that they have to behave a certain way. And when they don't, they apologize because they realize who I am in God. And I don't chastise them and go off on them because they don't respect who I am in God. They respect who you are in God by the life you live. If they are comfortable in doing it around you, then you need to look at yourself and say, Lord, am I not allowing enough of Christ to be seen in me to where they don't feel comfortable and violating who I am in God? That's how you win souls to Christ. That's how you maintain your strength in God. And that's how you can do as David did. Encourage yourself. There are days I'm down. There are days I'm just not feeling it. There are days I'm saying I'm not going to do it anymore. But then that he that dwells in me, the Holy Ghost, brings things to my remembrance. He guides me. He teaches me. And I'm saying, Lord, I can go a little further because of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will help you and strengthen you as you live this saved life. Because without him, the devil will wear you down and he will wear you out. And when he wears you down and wears you out, you'll find yourself lost again. And you'll find yourself wondering, where is my joy in the Lord? You should be saying now, Lord, let my joy be in the Holy Ghost. Come on, let's give the Lord another hand clap of praise. As we prepare to end our worship service, I'm going to thank God for those that are viewing on today. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you, Greater St. Mark, for coming. I pray that the word of God resonates in you. I pray that the word of God finds a place in your heart, that you will have joy in the Lord. Joy is something that you can't hardly even explain. It's like trying to explain what wet is. Because when you experience the joy of the Lord, you understand how powerful it is in your life. For those of you that are viewing, thank you for viewing. I want you to be ready to accept Jesus Christ in your life. If you're not saved, you don't have an idea of what it's like to have joy. And joy goes beyond happiness. Happiness is monetary. Happiness is only for a moment. Happiness is based on your environment. Happiness is based on what just happened to you or what the events around you. But joy. Joy can be over you and in you throughout the course of the day. You can wake up in the morning and have a smile on your face. Because the joy lets you know that the Lord watched over me and woke me up this morning. Joy lets you know that God is going to make a way throughout the course of the day. Joy lets you know that the devil cannot do anything to you that God cannot fix. That's what joy does. So if you're not saved, you don't have this joy. So preacher, how do I have this joy? How do I get this joy? Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. And yes, it comes by way of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost has a ministry. The ministry is to help you to get saved. Jesus said, no man come to the Father except I draw him. Well, how does he draw us to the Father? Through his Holy Spirit. Jesus is no longer physically in the earth. but his Holy Spirit is. His Holy Spirit is an extension of him. And he works in the spirit. He works in the world. The Bible says that he that letteth will no longer let. So while he's here, he's restraining evil. He's restraining the devil. Let God remove his presence and see how wicked this world becomes. Let God remove the church. Let the church be raptured out of here and see how evil and wicked this world becomes. We are the salt of the earth. And when the salt loses favor, what happens then? It's of no value. It's of no good. So how do I be saved? How do I get this joy? By receiving Jesus Christ in my life. How do I do that? By saying, Lord, I am a sinner. I'm sorry for my sins. Forgive me of all of my sins. I receive Jesus Christ into my life. I believe he is the Son of God. He died for my sins and rose again. He ascended on high and is seated on the right hand of the Father. And Lord God, I receive Jesus Christ into my life as my Savior. And because of that, oh God, I feel now I am saved. And I'm saved because you said that I am. But whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now you're saved. And when you're saved, it's just like that. Salvation is an ongoing process, but it happens right then. The moment you receive Jesus Christ and repent of your sins, you are saved. Now you got to be taught how to live saved. You got to be taught the word of God. You got to receive the word of God. Even once you get saved, you need to continually receive the word of God. Think about if you were to stop eating, you would die from malnutrition. You would suffer and not have the things in life that you need because you're not eating. So constantly eat the word of God. Study the word of God. Let the word of God come down in you and resonate in you. He can't bring it to your remembrance if you never knew it. How are you able to quote scriptures? It's because the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, he operates in you.
Treat everybody right. Till I die, yeah. Yeah. Trusting in the Lord, just wave your hand. In the Lord. You got to hang on in there anyhow. Can I get a witness in here? In the Lord. Wait a minute. In the Lord. Bring it down one more time. In the Lord. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. If I had Frank Williams here tonight, he would come on down and he would tell him, he would say, in the Lord, yeah. He would say, in the Lord, yeah. Y'all don't like this tonight. And, Frank would tell you, when I was sick, the Lord touched my body. We don't have him here tonight, but we got James Moore here. And I can tell you, God been good to me. He made a way out of no way. In the Lord. Come on, cry. In the Lord. In the Lord. Can you help us say it? In the Lord? In the Lord. In the Lord. He's a rock in a weary land. He's shelter in a time of storm.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.